Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We make sure every day at 2 p.m., tell a friend to tell a friend. We give the people what they want.
The people of New York City are getting what they want from the Knicks. The people of Ann Arbor have some good news when it comes to Michigan Wolverine football. But we start the show with a great game between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Bucks, two teams that fell short in the bubble. But that man, Giannis Antetokounmpo, had a great game. Jalen, you wanted to talk specifically about the final possession of the game and how they're using Giannis. Why is that?
First and foremost, Drew Holiday returned. That was good to see. And Giannis is still his dominant self. But the one thing that his team and his coaching staff did for him at the end of the game, they actually gave him the basketball at the elbow with the live dribble. And that's Giannis. You're one dribble away from a dunk. The defense has to react. They didn't know what to do. Look how they started scrambling at the beginning of the play. When you throw it to Giannis at the elbow, they did not know what to do. And they started chasing the ball the entire time. And all of a sudden, he ends up with the dunk to win the game. That's why he was so enthusiastic about it. Because normally at the end of the game, it's four people spotting up at the three line. And he could try to go downhill to either drive and spin back and get a basket or a foul or kick it out for a three.
He was hyped after that one. He really enjoyed that. And I want to acknowledge first how well Paul George is playing this season, because he's headed towards a 50-40-90 season. He's playing great. However, sometimes in big moments, Paul George doesn't show up. Yesterday, he was 7-for-21. Him and Kawhi just couldn't get a bucket to win the game at the end. Is this a concern for the Clippers?
It shouldn't be a concern for the Clippers. Paul George, to me, for everybody out there, he's a classic example of all of us as our haters wait for us to take a misstep. That's all it is. Your enemies are kind of like the devil. They're going to constantly remind you of every poor decision that you made, every bad game that you had, and they won't let you live it down. The man had double shoulder surgery coming into the previous season. Now coming into this year healthy, he's been elite. He's been playing all NBA basketball. They've been one of the best offensive teams in the game. He's going to have nights when he struggled. Yes, that was one of those nights. I saw Pandemic P trending. I saw him trending and all of that good stuff. But again, the Clippers are positioning themselves really well for a postseason run. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to keep bringing it up. They need a point guard, dog. I know you get tired of me saying this, but all of those guys, I wish they were one player. And you know, Lou Will, that's my dog. But he up there in age. So if you had Lou Will's offense, Patrick Beverley's defense, be a lefty like Kennard, and have Reggie Jackson's size, that's their point guard.
I would say Reggie Jackson's confidence. I think that's what I would want from Reggie Jackson in that group that you want to turn into one player. Well, Jalen, you know I'm a Die Easy fan. And you and I both earmarked a team that we're going to pay close attention to, and that is the Charlotte Hornets. And they have been playing some inspired basketball of late. PJ Washington had 42 points in this one, and it was Malik Monk who scored the bucket at the end that gave them the win. Jalen, why is this Hornets team so much fun to watch?
I'm a basketball degenerate, Jacoby. I was at the studio yesterday working 12 straight hours, went home and watched all of this game. And if you see something crazy on the screen, it's because this is not ESPN anymore. This is the Hornets News Network. And one of the things that happened late in that game was really crucial. It's when Scary Terry got to the line. And all of a sudden, the other team, the Kings, started missing free throws. They missed so many free throws. PJ made a couple of threes. Miles made a couple of plays. And you know Melo made a couple of plays. This was a terrific close to a young team to get a big-time win on the road.
Jalen, you know we love LaMelo Ball here at Jalen and Jacoby, so we've just straight up made him his own segment. Here it is. One of one with LaMelo Ball. And Jalen, he had 24 points, 12 assists, his third game with 20 and 10. Jalen, what do you think about this young, soon-to-be Rookie of the Year?
I think if you ever want to know anything about LaMelo Ball, this is your parking spot, because we tried to tell you. We tried to tell you. Mm-hmm. We tried to tell you. Jacoby sat on this show, and I just sat silent. I have been saying it for so long, my brother took over the fight for me. It's like, you go ahead, dog. I'm tired. Jacoby said, any general manager that passes on LaMelo Ball will regret it. And you just put up those stats, right? That ain't just points. That's assists. That's making people around me better. Okay? He had a big block in the game yesterday, a big defensive play. And I love his court vision, his court sense, his ability to compete out there and not be afraid. Like, he's going to be a superstar in this league. Tried to tell y'all. Tried to tell y'all.
And let's not forget this, the rebounds that he gets, right? He gets triple doubles, and he gives you six assists, six rebounds. And everyone talked about, oh, he can't shoot. Oh, LaMelo Ball can't shoot. LaMelo Ball is shooting 35% from three, and that's not on two attempts either. He's shooting threes and making threes, and he's only going to get better. He has all the tools that you need to be a point guard in 2021 and beyond in the National Basketball Association.
I totally agree with you, but I want to shout out the young players in the rookie class, because so many young guys around the league are being truly productive, and I appreciate these guys coming into the game ready. But the one thing about Melo's three-point percentage you just brought up, it takes into account plays like yesterday when they throwing it out of bounds and you trying to save it and you falling into the chairs and a water cooler and you shoot it. That kind of gets your percentages too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that wasn't the best look. He really thought he was going to make that too. He was just like, Well, Jalen, one team that is trying to turn around got an opportunity to do so yesterday, and that are the struggling Boston Celtics, who went up against the red-hot Wizards and ended up getting the win. And it was Jason Tatum in the waning seconds of the game that got not one, but two huge buckets, also aided by a Bradley Beal turnover, to get this team the win. But Jalen, it's not the Celtics I want to talk to you about. It's the man I mentioned, Bradley Beal. He scored 46 points in this game, and they lost. This is the 11th straight game where he's had 40 points, and they could not get a win. If you're Bradley Beal, what does that mean to you? How do you feel, and how do you feel about your relationship with the franchise moving forward?
So as a player, I believe he's like 6-20 around that when he scores 40-plus. That means best player, bad team. Can he now lift that squad into being a playoff team? Can his now performances, when they go off like this, lead to wins? And a good example I want to use for you, Jacoby, since Bradley Beal's been there his entire career, is Dame Lillard. Because when Dame first got into the league, that was LaMarcus Aldridge's team, just kind of like John Wall. And then when he left, Dame stepped in and became that dude. In the second year, Dame led him to the playoffs. So now this is the first year without John Wall. And Russell Westbrook recently been balling, putting up triple doubles. They will be a playoff team, in my opinion, because whether they make it as an AC or play themselves in, they're going to be in the playoffs. So let's see if when he has big performances, it can now actually lead to victories, which means A, they need to build a better roster around him, or B, teams are going to try to decide if he can actually be the best player on a winning team.
With gyms either being closed or sort of a place that people don't want to go to because of the risk of the coronavirus, we've all sort of like taken outside for our workouts, and Drew Brees is just like the rest of us. Let's just take a look at him working out outside, and I'm just ask you this question. He looks pretty good. He looks pretty strong. He's working out. Does that look like a man who just got retired? And if you're a Saints fan, is this the last thing that you want to see?
Well, he did the vet move by taking the minimum. So therefore, the team or the fans can't say he's overpaid, because he only getting 1.1. So now, if I decide to show up, you got to welcome me because I'm a discount. But the one person, and I'm going to ask you a question. How would Jerry Rice feel if Joe Montana or Steve Young was returning to the team? How would they feel?
They would probably want that player back to throw them the ball. That's how I imagine he would feel.
I don't believe Michael Thomas feel like that. So if Drew Brees announces that he's coming back, for everybody that's followed this show all year, this has been a running storyline. 3-2-1, bottom of the ticker. Drew Brees says he's coming back. Go to Michael Thomas's IG. See how he feels about playing with Drew under center next year. He's not going to be happy. Stay tuned.
The connection between Breeze and Thomas was not nearly as fruitful as it was 2 years ago last year. That's something to pay attention to, per Jalen Anthony Rose on Jalen and Jacoby. Sometimes there are videos that we need to break down in detail, so me and you have to go to the table. Jalen, people go all out for marriage proposals. But this guy went all out of the back of a plane to propose to his now fiance while skydiving. He takes the ring in his teeth. She has no idea. And then while falling to the earth, he proposed. Jalen, your thoughts?
I'm going to surprise you with this. I love this.
Oh.
I truly do.
Oh.
I knew, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that the person probably wouldn't look like me, but at the same time, to take that risk for love with the person that you're making a commitment to for the rest of your life, that's what it's all about. Boss move.
You know what, Jalen? I dressed up like a clown. Now I'm going to say something else into a microphone. I'll skydive for the show. I will skydive for this program. Take me out to Long Island. I will jump out of a plane and record it for this show. No problem. Let's go. And I want you there at the bottom.
Can I ask you a question?
When I land.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yes.
What do you think I'm going to be doing when you're skydiving?
Waiting on the earth with a cocktail to hand me when I land. Jalen, sometimes when Zion leaves the floor, it seems like he will never land. And I have a plan for this man. I need to see this guy in the dunk contest. He hasn't said no yet, but he also hasn't said yes.
Say
he will
after he hears from
me and Jalen. Stay tuned. You're watching Jalen Jacoby. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is time for the segment where you decide what we discuss. It is Keep It Moving.
Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang.
If you want to discuss topics, say hit the brakes. If not, me with Method Man, jump in the minivan and keep it moving. Jalen, I have an update and a request about the dunk contest. Keep moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Cassius Stanley, Anthony Simons, and Obi Toppin have all committed to the dunk contest, but this man has not. He flirted. He said he pump faked. He said maybe he will, maybe he won't. Jalen, why should Zion Williamson be in the dunk contest?
The same reason why when you follow Major League Baseball, certain sluggers choose not to be in the home run derby because afterwards it has affected some of their swings and their averages in a negative way. I feel like as a young player who was low managed last year, that's still working to get himself in shape, that's had a history of injury in college and in high school, missed summer league, now to fly to Atlanta in a 24-hour span, play in his first All-Star game, and then at halftime leave the locker room and go participate in the dunk contest, go back into the locker room and play the second half of the game. I just think that's too much for a player on the same day. That's why I feel like he turned it down.
Jalen, he has not turned it down yet. He's keeping hope alive. And at the beginning of this show, we have like a motto. There's like an ethos that we live by. Oh, that is giving the people what they want. The people want Zion in the dunk contest. Zion, do not listen to Jalen Rose. Give the people what they want, and you will get exactly what Jalen is hinting at when you become the slam dunk contest champion, and your star gets bigger and you get more endorsements. You're welcome. The Rockets are in trouble. They got waxed by the Grizzlies. Not only that, there's some Victor Oladipo news as well. Keep moving at the breaks.
I'm not surprised. Silas is still a terrific coach and going to be one with them for a long time. They're dealing with injuries. I mean, you trade James Harden, Christian Woods get injured, and Victor Oladipo may be getting traded. Keep it moving for now.
We keep it moving. We keep it moving.
Jalen, I don't know if you know this, but the New York Knicks are above 500, and New York City is on fire with love for the New York Knickerbockers. You don't even know that James Harden and Kyrie and KD are playing in Brooklyn if you walk around Manhattan after a New York City Knickerbocker win. Jalen, can they sustain this and be a playoff team and a threat in the East?
You just alluded to something that's facts on facts, and I learned this very young. Sometimes you have to be a star away from your hometown to be accepted as one where you live. And for anybody that spends time in New York City, while the Nets are going to garner all of the national attention, trust me, we're in New York right now. It's all about the Knicks. When you have that storied 70-year head start of people being a diehard fan of yours, this love is going to spread to the streets, even when it's just one game above 500.
So happy for New York. So happy for the Knicks. It's just a better place when the Knicks are playing well. Jalen, a Luka Doncic card sold for an unbelievable amount. Keep it moving.
Hit the brakes on this one.
Someone bought a one-of-one Luka Doncic rookie card for $4.6 million of American currency. What is happening in this world, Jalen?
Well, the collection, the card collection business, the autograph business, the apparel business, it's been a lucrative one. But I'm going to tell you something, and everybody, when you steal this, make sure you credit me. When Luka Doncic and Zion Williamson, terrific young players, decide that they're going to get in tip-top shape. See, they young. You've been young, eating whatever, drinking whatever, going to sleep, whatever. You're just not making the sacrifices. You're just not doing it. Especially when you look down at the stat sheet like, wait a minute, I'm an all-star? But then when you have that hurt from the league, ask Joel Embiid. You see him now? You see what happened when Kawhi made that jump shot and he was walking off the court crying and the Celtics swept him out of the playoffs? He focused. Nah, ain't he? You see how focused he is? When Zion and Lucas have that heartbreak in the league, those two guys gonna be vying for MVP. Remember, I told you.
You could also say the same thing about the Stretch Mark Five, who is still a five, but not so much a Stretch Mark Five anymore. Moving on.
Well said.
We have a back and forth between two of the most prominent KDs in the world. Keep moving.
Hit the brakes. Detroit, stand up. What up, Doug?
Jalen, please explain to the people what happened between Cash Doll and Kevin Durant.
First off, Cash Doll represent the 313 to the fullest. And if you don't know, now you know. And so if she say that's her name, then Kevin Durant, he got to be second, Jacoby. That's kind of how this works.
Oh, that's how it works?
Yeah.
I like it. First of all, I just love Kevin Durant going back and forth. Whether he saw this tweet naturally or he's just searching KD on Twitter, which I could believe both, I really love Kevin Durant on social media ever since the burner account's been revealed.
All I know is this. If I see KD dropping some bars, I'm going to know who his ghostwriter is.
Well, I hope to see both of those as soon as possible. One thing you will see very soon is the Lakers performing like we expected them to yesterday against the Warriors, and a versus matchup that absolutely will blow your mind. We'll give you both of those right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby. It is March, and that means college basketball on ESPN tonight at 7 p.m. It is North Carolina and Syracuse. And then in the nightcap at 9, it is Oklahoma taking on Cade Cunningham and Oklahoma State. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it was Steph against LeBron, and it was an absolute blowout yesterday between the Warriors and the Lakers. Can the Lakers build on this momentum as they look at the future without Anthony Davis for a while?
You know, I don't like to chase takes or give hyperbole or use the term great a lot. But I truly believe if the Lakers healthy, they may get pushed to six games once in the playoff series. And I'm only giving that number because that's what the Heat did in the final. That's how much they're the favorite to me. They get Schroeder back and all of a sudden somebody else can handle the ball and defend on the perimeter, it unlocks LeBron James to be on the backside, like a linebacker, like a D-back, getting blocks, getting steals, help side, getting on transition, catching lobs, scoring 19 points, 24 minutes, season lows, getting wins. And so when we start talking about MVPs, that's what they do, show up on a nightly basis.
Well, it was Sunday yesterday, and out on the links, a lot of golfers wore the red top and black pants as traditional Sunday garb for Tiger Woods, who is recovering from a tragic car accident. What do you think about this tribute from the golfers?
Get well soon, Tiger. You know, Jacoby, as you know, we spent so much time in Los Angeles over a couple of decades. And where he had his car accident, I've driven there multiple times. And that is a dangerous spot. So I'm just wishing him health and getting back to a speedy recovery. And I'm a big shout to all of the golfers who paid tribute.
Jalen, I have never been more excited for a potential versus battle than this one that is being teased between Ghostface Killa and Raekwon the Chef. Jalen, this kind of reminds me of Jeezy Gucci for Atlanta and 40 Water and Too Short for Oakland. What do you think this will mean for New York City?
Wow, Treasures of the Glaciers of Ice. This will be classic. You know how much I love Shay Shay LaGhost and Raekwon the Chef. I might have to cut the Half Moon Caesar back in my head. They do that.
Don't do it.
I might have to get away from I'll be sure in effect mode.
Don't do it. You're in a good spot with the hair right now, and we'll be in a good spot at 2 p.m. tomorrow on ESPN. Jalen, there's a lot that I want to discuss with you as we get done with a very busy sports weekend, but the most important thing I have to discuss with you is Michigan Athletics. Juwan and the Wolverines are looking like a number one seed. A number one seed. Not in the Big Ten conference tournament, but in the big tournament. Jalen, what do you think about expectations and pressure and having the number one next to your name in college basketball?
I'm happy for Juwan and his coaching staff, Phil Martelli, my brother Howard Eisley. Have done a terrific job of first crafting a team. You have upperclassmen, a couple of transfers, one in Smith leading the Big Ten in assists, one in Brown who comes off the bench, allows us to extend our defense. He plays multiple positions defensively. Livers is an upperclassman who had a chance to enter the draft and came back. So did Wagner. So having that core group of guys with Brooks now solidifies your locker room. So now when you get a transfer like Johns from Maryland and you have a young big like Dickinson down low, you have an opportunity to play multiple styles. So they could play a half-court style with post-ups, and that's with their big and or their wings. They can shoot the three, but yet they're still running a pro-style offense. Like, we're running pick and rolls. We're running hammer plays. We're doing all of the stuff you want to see a player get ready for the league. And that's what you're going to need in a tournament. Depth, the ability to play multiple styles, experience, good card play. And so I'm really excited about our prospects and moving forward with this season and having a legitimate chance to win it all.
Not only are there exciting prospects for Michigan men's basketball, there are some exciting prospects for Michigan men's football. A program that was in absolute shambles, dumpster fire, trash. Last year, you won't say it, I'll say it. However, Alan Bowman, quarterback, entered the transfer portal from Texas Tech. He was a starting quarterback for Texas Tech, and there are some good young quarterbacks on the Michigan roster, but it looks like you will have a rental for a year while you have some freshmen develop of Alex Bowman under center. What do you think about this?
You don't beat Ohio State like that. However, you continue to improve on the team that struggled mightily last year, gave Jim Harbaugh a contract extension, and it may be considered apples to oranges, but Juwan has already won more big games than Harbaugh, in particular versus ranked teams, I believe. And so I'm happy that Ward Manuel, our AD, who got an extension, congratulations, actually brought Harbaugh back. So many people from the outside felt like we should have fired him. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he is a good coach. It's just that he didn't have the players, in particular at the quarterback spot. So I think now that he has a quarterback, I think that's going to make our offense function better. Because when you watch the NFL draft, we still got some head busters. They're still playing in college, going to the league.
There's
you know,
a lot
seven
of Michigan
play
Wolverines playing on Sunday. A lot of
no
them.
Question.
Every team's got one. There's some prominent ones, too.
And I know our number one, my first, second, third, fourth, fifth goal is to beat Ohio State and to win a national championship. But you know what other thing players want to do? Go to the league. And so on defense, that's been happening. Now with a quarterback on offense, I think now we at least become one of the top teams in the Big Ten, but we ain't on Ohio State's level.
There's also some good news. Recruit number 29, not at his position, number 29 overall, Will Johnson recruit at cornerback has committed to Michigan.
And I think that there's so much. That Fab Five effect. All I know is the enrollment went up. The numbers went up. The enthusiasm for the university went up. After G. Rice and the boys cut down the nets, shout out to the OGs, Lloyd Vaught, Terry Mills, Ramil Robinson, Sean Higgs, my peeps, I idolized them. When they left and we came, that was the storm. Track the trailer, rest in peace, Mo Taylor, they came. And then we kind of wanted to remove ourselves from our past. And so now that we're embracing it, I feel it's helping every program. You see, now if you notice, you're talking about Michigan and track and field. You remember the young lady we had on the show that came back in the 400 relay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a stunning comeback. She also is a freshman at Michigan. What starts to happen is you snowball the programs when you create a level of interest that people like. For some reason, I'm a part of it, I don't know. But the Fab Five has gotten that love for 30 years. And Juwan Howard now is in the eye of the storm with the number two team in the country.
We'll see when the rankings come out. Does feel like Michigan is ready to leap a spot or two and get to that two or three spot. Now, Jalen, we didn't really talk about it because it was Saturday night, but I do want to discuss the Nets-Mavs game with you because obviously you did that game with Countdown, and it was without Kyrie. It was without KD. It looked like it was going to be Harden and Luka going toe-to-toe. They started out that way, and then kind of fizzled out in the second half. What do you think of that game?
Jacoby, I want to quote Drake right now. I'm upset. Because as an MVP voter, let me just tell you two things I don't like. Number one, talking about the MVP before I pick my all-star reserves. Like, it just... Like somebody, it was five games into the season, people are already talking about who the MVP is. I hate that.
Week two. Yeah.
So I hate that. And so what ends up happening is that dilutes what really it takes to be an actual MVP. I'm no fool. I know James Harden is an outstanding player. And when the Nets have their big three, they're going to win the East. And he's going to be flirting with triple doubles. He's going to have the same numbers as Luka has. But here's the difference. He started in Houston. And that was this season, right? Was that this season? Yeah, and the MVP is for this season, right?
Yes.
So that means while LeBron James was playing 10 games with the Lakers, and he was tricking off 9 games with the Rockets, that's called LeBron was getting a head start on the race.
Well, remember James Harden was shooting like 13, 14 times a game. It like didn't even make any sense what he was up to. It was like, we're not going to forget that. That was this season. That's a good point.
And so here's what I want to remind everyone. That's a 15% of the actual season. If it's almost like somebody cutting the line. It don't work like that. There are so many guys that when I'm watching League Pass from the beginning of the year that have had better seasons than James Harden, Steph Curry. Stop me if I'm wrong. Dame Lillard. Kawhi Leonard.
Jokic, Embiid.
Embiid. LeBron. Jokic. Donovan Mitchell. Like, all of them been balling all season. And I was at the Nets game when they lost at Detroit. I was at the game.
Did I see Paul Pierce on Countdown say that he had James Harden as number one? Did I see that? Is that because now I'm just starting to remind me of something. Did I see that? But he listened to him in order?
It's not just him. I've seen a few people at our network and that are on social media that are already claiming that James Harden is the MVP of the league. What is the difference between James Harden's numbers and Luka numbers? One of them play with KD and Kyrie.
Yeah, no, well, listen. James Harden is playing the best basketball I've seen from James Harden. The way that he's adjusted his game to this roster is phenomenal. And what he was doing in Houston.
I disagree.
Oh, really? You disagree? You'd rather see him shoot 35 times a game. You'd rather see him shoot 35 times a game. Enjoy watching this version of James Harden more than any other version you've seen.
You know what I enjoy watching? James Harden on steroids. The year I voted for him winning MVP, when he was scoring almost 40, he was scoring 25% more than he's scoring now. He was averaging like 35. But when he had his triple doubles, it was like 45, 17, and 15. That's the James Harden was playing the best basketball. Why are we ignoring that? He was the MVP of the league. He was in the MVP race in the top two or three for five straight years. I can't act like him walking up and down the court and just throwing it to Kyrie a couple of times is better than that. It's not.
I feel like this Nets James Harden is more apt to get his teammates involved. He's more apt to run offense than instead of just, I'll pass to you at the end of the possession and you shoot. That's kind of what being his teammate was before. I'm at the end of the possession, I'm going to pass to you. You're either going to get a spot up three or you're going to jump up for a lob. And I feel like this James Harden is more offenses, doing things. I'm not going to say doing much without the ball, but doing things without the ball. And he's looking to pass more. It's just more. He just seems like a more well-rounded approach to the game than just let me dribble, try to score or get the assist.
Let me tell you a couple of things that happened with Harden before he got to the Nets. He had already led the league in scoring, in particular three straight times. He had already been the player's MVP. He had been the league MVP. We ignoring that. I said this is like three years ago, he's the only player at some point of his career that's going to lead the league in total assists, points, free throws made, and three-pointers made in any season at some point of their career. So just think about that. When I say points, you think MJ and KD. When I say assists, you think CP3 or John Stockton. When I say free throws made, that's like Karl Malone. When I say three-pointers made, that's like Steph Curry, Buddy Hield. It's like he's an embodiment of all of those players, and I appreciate that. But I ain't going to ignore when they was about to play ball. We was talking about, was he out of shape? And we were showing him at Lil Baby's birthday party. That was during the season. That was during this basketball season.
He didn't try. He wasn't trying. He was not trying for like four weeks? For three weeks?
Somebody wasn't trying for 4 weeks.
That's not
my MVP. And we've only been playing for 12 weeks. How can I say that that's the MVP?
You can't. You cannot do that. You cannot. You cannot do it.
And I know people chase takes. I get it. But I don't.
And also, I just do think that the MVP discussion, when it starts in week three, it just gets tiring and then becomes like a narrative-based thing where it's not necessarily about the play on the court. It's tiresome. But I think this year is going to be close. Because don't forget, everybody's just handing it to Luka. Everyone's just going to hand it to Luka before the season started. Here you go.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to tell you the embodiment of what you just said. And the word is narrative. How about Giannis Antetokounmpo? He's only the back-to-back MVP. And if I put his numbers up on the screen and his team's wins and his games played.
29 points a game, 12 rebounds a game, 6 assists a game.
Okay. So I can't say James Harden has been better this year from the beginning till now than him. I can't do it. It's a disrespect to the game.
A lot of the MVP conversation has to do with team success as well.
I'm the OG. It's up to me to keep cats in check. It's up to me to bring reality. You know when everybody at the barbershop having their talk and then it's the OG come in, a wise old man with the big gray beard. That's just me. That's all.
Jalen, I just want you to know I'm really going to jump out of a plane this summer. I'm going to do it this summer. This summer, we're going to drive out to Long Island. You're going to be in a car, jump out the plane. There'll be some dude strapped to my back or a female, you know, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to record it for the show.
Can I ask you this? Because it's definitely cultural. What would Joey Jacoby think about this? Would she support you doing it, and or would she do it, and or would she do it with you?
I think she would support me doing it. I don't think she would do it, and she definitely wouldn't do it with me for the same reason you don't put like the vice president and the president in the same plane. You know, like if someone got to take care of these three kids, so we probably shouldn't be jumping out the same plane together. You know, if something goes awry. But I'm gonna do it. I went hang gliding before, Jay. Did you know that? I jumped off a mountain with a kite strapped to my back. That was scary.
Jacoby.
Can I tell you a hang gliding story?
Of course. When it relates to cold weather and heights, y'all can have it. Y'all
can
have it.
Was cold. It was summertime in Switzerland. I'm up there on the hang glide. It's just basically a kite. And you run and jump off a cliff. He's like, you got to run fast, jump off the cliff, right? And he's looking to see if the wind is right. He's like, all right, when I get to one, we're just going to run and just jump off the cliff. I'm like, all right, cool. He goes, 3, 2. No. Hold on. I was just like, my guy, it's like, there's no hold up. But I'm about to jump. He's like, the wind isn't right. Wind isn't right. I'm like, listen, if you say 3, I'm jumping off at 1. Like, I thought we were already pot committed here. I'm jumping off that cliff. And then we did it. It's the scariest thing in the world for the first 10 seconds. And then you're just flying around like a bird. It's so much fun.
I always feel a few things. Things like that, it can be a shock to your body also. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know how my body will respond in a situation like that, because I'm too old to be screaming. Like, probably like about 25, I decided I was just too old to be 6'8 and screaming loud on a pirate ship or like riding roller coasters.
On a pirate ship.
Putting my hands in the air. I'm like, why am I putting my hands in the air? I'm making millions hooping. This damn thing hit my hand, messing up my bread. You know what I'm saying? I take my daughter to Cedar Point a couple of times, and I did that just because they was young, only for them. But once it ain't for them, it ain't gonna be for me. I'm good.
Oh, I love it. I love that. I love going up the roller coaster, the tick, 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 tick. When you get to the top and you're at the very top and you're scared, you know it's about to go down, and it goes down.
No, I'm good. That. You know, when you feeling. Do that, let me tell you something. You go hang gliding, you know what I'll do? Go bowling.
I ain't going hang gliding again. That was one time. That was two. that was whimsy. Like, I feel like the skydiving, like, I'll be like, you know, I'm gonna have that guy be like, how many times you jumped out of a plane? He's gonna be like, 5,000. I'm like, all right, he's still here. I just gotta get up and down once, you know? I'll be fine. Not gonna be able to do it.
No.
But you gotta be filming from the ground. I'm gonna be landing right on you. And I'm gonna shuck my beer once I land too.
Well, that's the second part of this. I kinda don't wanna be a part of it. Like, I could be around.
You know, you don't want to be an accomplice.
I
want to
be at a distance.
You don't want to be an accomplice.
Nah, I'm not recording, and I'm not catching you when you land, and I'm not standing there. I'm going to be, like, in the building watching you.
Why? Why?
I'm not a part of this. I'm not a part of this. Not a part of this.
You're coming. Not I ain't doing it unless you're a part of it. That's the condition. You got to be out there.
I'll be there.
You
said. I'll be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be fine. They won't let you land in the landing zone.
I'll be in the closest place where I can have a drink.
The closest establishment. How'd it go, Jacoby? Yes. I jumped out of a plane. Like, oh, cool. All right.
Now they'll show it to me afterwards. They'll record it. I'll look at it after. I see it after, dog. I'm good. Trust me.
I'm gonna do it.
You should do that, and you should go bungee jumping.
The bungee jumping, hang gliding, like, that stuff's a little too janky for me. I feel like the skydiving is actually safer. You know? I feel like skydiving is actually safer than bungee jumping. Bungee jumping, like, all right, so you're tying me up by my ankle and then putting a rubber band on me, then I jump off. No, I don't know. How do I get back? Have you ever wanted that? You always see the point where they jump off the cliff and then they bounce once or twice, but you never see like how they get off the bungee jump. How do you dismount?
I'm good.
Do they pull you up like super slowly by your ankle and then they pull you up? Like, is that how it works? Or do you like disconnect and fall into the water? How do you get off a bungee jump?
I don't know. I'm good. And I appreciate your commitment. And you even said that one was safer. You know what's safe to me? Playing spades. That's what's safe. Playing cards. That's safe. Not being 25,000 feet in the air.
I don't think 25. I don't know if I'll be doing it from 25K. I hope not.
I think my damn heart might stop. I might go have a go into convulsions. I'm good. I'm good.
I think it's only scary at first, and then you're kind of chill. And then once you land, you want to do it again. That's how I feel is going to happen.
Jacoby, I would never be chill when my feet aren't on the ground. I wasn't chill driving to the basket trying to dunk on somebody.
You can't jump. Yeah, you can't jump, so you got to worry about that.
Exactly. I tried to dunk on somebody in high school. He clotheslined my ass. I got carried off on a stretcher, went into convulsions, thought I was about to die. Dunking wasn't important no more.
That's it. I had convulsions on the court. Except, I mean, I wasn't trying to dunk because I'm me. Got a steal, breakaway, layup. Another steal like LeBron on the wing. A second possession, back-to-back. Breakaway, there's two dudes there. I tried to do some sort of, all I remember jumping in the air. Next thing you know, I'm walking out the gym and my buddy who's on my team is a doctor. He's like, what year is it? I was like, 2005. It was like 2009. I had no idea. I had to go to the hospital. I had to get a CAT scan, I think it's called, and they scan your brain.
No,
and then when they scan, you didn't get your brain scanned after the convulsions? I had to get a brain scan.
Jacoby, let me just paint the scene. We're playing against our rival at Southwestern. I'm on the left side. I can't really palm the ball on the move. So my signature dunk growing up would be to take off with one and then grab it with two and flush it. And so in the process of me grabbing it with one, a guy named King Conley clotheslined me. And that's the footage you see in the Fab Five doc. I just don't really like break down that it's me. You know what I'm saying? But that was me. And so I fall, hit my head on the floor, and I go into convulsions and I'm unconscious. I literally get carried off on the stretcher. They got me tied down. And I woke up between when they took me from the gym and the cold Detroit air before they put me into the ambulance. Soon as I hit that cold air, I woke up. And soon as I opened my eyes, like always, Jeannie Rose was right there. My mother was right there. And she let them know, I'm gonna be here the entire time. So I'm riding in this ambulance. I'm going to the hospital. I'm gonna be in the room. I don't care about your rules and restrictions. I heard what you just said, but if he's going, I'm going. I actually stayed in the hospital 48 hours.
Wow.
Like they thought it was an issue with my spine at first. Like I might not even hoop again. Like I had like a 24-hour period in my life where I was in the hospital thinking I might not hoop again. And wow. Our team was about to play against, it happened on like at the top of the week. And then our team played against Henry Ford next to the next game. And I was crying and wondering if my career was going to be over, that type of thing. And me and my mother was talking about it. And that's kind of when I started thinking about what I wanted to do beyond basketball. True story. That forced me to kind of think about what my life would be without basketball. Because sixth grade, seventh grade, I knew I was going to the league. I was Dr. J. You can tell me nothing. I was magic. I'm already in the league. It's just they're not paying me yet. And so that was the first time I was like, man, what am I going to do with my life if I don't have basketball? And so, you know, another 24 hours or so, you know, got the test back, CAT scan back and all of that. And they got me like pinned down. I can't move, dog. I can't move my head. I can't move my back. I can't move. Like a mummy, I couldn't move. And so they told me that I was going to be okay and I should have a full recovery, that type of thing. So I couldn't go to the game because I couldn't leave the hospital. But then I remember going to the following game and watching the team play because my neck was still crazy stiff. And I remember being on the sideline, just kind of like shooting, and I had a brace on my neck. It was crazy, dog. And so I understand how hard that floor is. And these feet think twice before they leave the ground. I don't care if we're doing box jumps in a workout. I'm thinking about it. So I ain't definitely jumping out no plane or jumping off no cliff. You like, come on. The dude like, stop. The wind ain't enough. You like, come on. Like one of those dudes in the movies. Like, come on. Bring it on. I'm like, no, I'm good. Not going to be as good.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.
I'm jumping off the plane.